if you're...
If you have a microphone, turn it on. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I feel the need to inject a little bit of humor today, so I'm going to tell a couple of mask jokes that I've seen on Facebook this week. One of them said, if you've got to wear a mask, put a handful of M&Ms in it, and you can just kind of use it like a feed bag at work. And just chew on the M&Ms during the day. I like that one. The other one is just like all these lawyer commercials on TV and radio says, if you have to wear a mask and glasses, you may be entitled to condensation. I feel that one because my glasses fog up, so I'm not going to preach to you through a mask because I won't be able to see my notes. But we got to laugh, right? Laughter is good medicine. And I want to, they always tell you when you're going to speak to a group, never apologize up front. But I'm going to apologize today because what I say today may come across as overly political. And you know I don't like to talk politics. But Karl Barth said, if you preach, you should preach with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. And to ignore what's going on around us, just like Frank said in his prayer, it'd be ridiculous. We can't. And I also acknowledge that how I see the world today is going to be different from how some other people see it. If you disagree with me, I ask for your grace. And I know that this is the text right out of the lectionary today, so there'll be a lot of preachers across the country using the same text, and they may fall on a completely different side from I do. Reading the text is one thing. Applying it is always the challenge. So I'm going to... tell you how I see it today. We may disagree on some things. I will give you grace if you give me grace. I think we will all agree, though, that we all need to turn back to Jesus to fix what is wrong with our country. I started this out. I entitled this, Are You Tired? I put on the front of the bulletin, I'm tired, I'm weary. This stuff beats me down. I don't know about you, but it wears me out. And I feel like sometimes either a coach or a player on a team that's in the locker room at halftime and we're just getting our teeth kicked in. And it seems really disheartening and we're beaten down and it seems like the other team is cheating and the referees are against us and there's just so much going wrong that it's hard to kind of rally the troops. So if I don't want this to be a downer, I want this eventually to be a rallying cry. But it's a little bit of a tough thing that we're going through right now. Jesus understood that. He lived in some really tough times. So I want to take a little bit of time to read this. We're going to read Matthew 11. I'm going to read verses 16 through 19 and then skip down and read 25 through 30. These are the words of Jesus himself. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking and they said, he's a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Then it skips down. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the heart of this text right here, this last couple of sentences. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Jews that Jesus was talking to in this time were living in some very difficult times. They're in their homeland, so imagine being here in your country, but you are not in power. Another nation has come in and they rule your homeland. That's a pretty tough place to start, pretty tough context, but that's where they were. They were overtaxed And they were really oppressed. We talk about oppression today, but I don't think we really understand what oppression is. They were truly oppressed. They had a little bit of control in their lives, and that was mostly around the synagogue. The Romans said, you know what, you guys can have your religious services, you can do your thing right there as long as you keep the peace and just kind of mind your own business over there. But as far as the synagogue was concerned, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin ruled that. And the Pharisees had set a really high standard for the people. They said, if you want to be considered righteous, if you want to be considered good, you've got to accomplish and do all of these things. You've got to follow the strict things that we set here, and their yoke, their teaching, their standard was really high. It was heavy. It was burdensome, and it was very exclusive. It excluded the common person. They ran from it. They said, there's no way we can live like this. In their world, there was corruption, there was evil, and there were darkness. The people were tired, they were weary, and they were beat down. And it wasn't supposed to be this way. Jesus was supposed to be the one to turn things right back up, right side up for them. But Jesus said, this world is upside down. He said, when the happy music plays, nobody dances. When the sad funeral music plays, nobody mourns. It's just kind of up on its head. That's kind of what our world is like right now. The things that should make us unhappy in this world, people of this world, and I say we in a general sense, tend to make us mourn. The things that should make us mourn tend to make people happy. And as if the coronavirus and the Saharan dust and the murder hornets and recession and all this kind of stuff weren't enough, we celebrate Independence Day yesterday, and then I wake up this morning to see headlines where somebody says Independence Day is just a celebration of white supremacy. I'm like, really? Please. I don't even want to read the newspapers anymore. Criminals have become heroes, and peacemakers are the villains in this sense of misplaced justice. Some call for abolishing police departments altogether, but they're the same people who would probably call the police on you for not wearing a mask. They're the same people who would call the police when their order's not right at McDonald's. The world is messed up. I'm sorry. We hold one group accountable for things that happened 200 years ago, but we refuse to hold another group accountable for what they're doing today. People can vandalize and tear down statues, and it's just like, well, they're just expressing themselves. What is going on? What is wrong with this country? We want to punish ourselves for slavery that took place generations ago, but we do very little to nothing about slavery that is still going on in the world today. Did you know that in parts of the world, slavery is still happening? And yet we're beating up ourselves over things that happened 200 years ago. Not to mention the sex trafficking that happens not just around the world, but in this country as well. ACU President Phil Schubert made a statement on email a while back, and he said, all lives matter. How dare he make such a statement that says all lives matter? But he was derided for saying that. He was called tone deaf and just took a beating from the alumni and from people all around. And he came back and changed it to say, no, black lives matter. And if you think he's alone, another college dean was actually fired for saying, yes, black lives matter, but she added the phrase, all lives matter, and she was fired. People get more upset about one life unjustly taken, and it was unjustly taken if you watch some videos. They get more upset about that than they do about thousands of lives taken by abortion every day. We want free speech, but only when it agrees with our worldview. There is corruption, there is evil, and there is darkness in this world, just like there was in the world that Jesus was addressing. And the things that should make us mourn make us happy. And the things that should make us happy cause us to hate. And I get more upset about having to wear a mask than I do about things that truly break God's heart. The world's upside down. It's a mess. Darkness hates the light. There's a lot of darkness in this world, and you think that if you shine the light that people would welcome that, but they hate it. They don't want the light to shine on their darkness. And to top it all off, there are religious people who will try to impose on you strict standards of conduct that you have to follow to the letter, get it just right to be considered righteous. Their yoke, that they would put on you is not like Jesus' yoke. Their yoke is heavy and it's exclusive. And no wonder people run from the Bible. They see it as a prison rather than something to free us, which is what Jesus meant. And Jesus knows the feeling about misplaced justice. He knows what it's like for the hero to be made the villain and the villain to be made the hero. Can you imagine how he felt when he stood there with Pilate and in front of all the people and they said, "Give us Barabbas. Give us the killer, the murderer, and kill this guy, the peacemaker." Jesus knew the world was upside down. And he said, "You don't like whatever you get. If your ice cream is cold, you complain about it." John came and he was a teetotaler who ate bugs and honey in the wilderness. You rejected him, said he must have a demon. "I come along," Jesus says, speaking of himself, "the Son of Man," and you say, "He's way too loose. He eats and drinks with sinners, and so he must be a drunkard and a glutton." You don't like it either way. But the wise and the learned, and he uses those in quotations, and I think he's really directing himself, his comments, towards the Pharisees, the enlightened ones in the world, reject me. But I love this, because he didn't just say, "The little children accept me." He says, "God revealed to the simple, the little children, the glory of knowing Jesus." Jesus told the people, "You've got a choice. This world is dark and it's corrupt, and I get that." He said, "You can take on the yoke of this world and you can be upside down." But the whole Sermon on the Mount, he's trying to flip things right back where they should be. He says, "You have a choice. You can conform to this world or you can be transformed," as Paul said. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world shape your mind in the way it wants you to go. Let your mind be transformed by the Word of God and dwelling on the things that matter. You see, Jesus is telling us that we can be in the world and we can react inappropriately to the music that's playing around us. We can hate when we should love, and we could also be happy when we should mourn. When the music is happy, we should dance. When the music is sad, we should mourn. We can turn that world right back up like it's supposed to be. We can accept the yoke of Jesus. Now, yoke is a word we picture, you know, we know what a yoke looks like from cattle and that sort of thing. And it's something that we use to restrict people or to get them pulling along in the same direction. The yoke that they would talk about in terms of rabbi was, "What is your essential teaching, rabbi? What is your yoke?" Jesus told us over and over what his yoke was. It was love God and love people. Love God and love people. And I love Tom's article that he wrote. He wrote that article that I put in the bulletin as a Facebook post. And I called him. I said, "Tom, can I use that in the bulletin? Because that's beautiful." Tom's words are about loving people, loving God and loving people, and having an influence on the people around you. That's how we change the world and put the world right back up where it's supposed to be. Love God and love people. That's how we think, make things right. That's how we get happy about the things that please God, and we mourn over the things that grieve Him. Do I do that? Remember, Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Are you tired? Are you weary? Then guess what? The kingdom of heaven is yours. Because the things that cause me to mourn are causing you to mourn, and you're beaten down, and I understand that. Heaven is yours. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are those who mourn. You'll be comforted. So take heart in that. Blessed are those who show mercy. And I appreciate that about Frank's prayer. You know, the military part of me wants to go to those people who are tearing down statues and just clean house in a really bad way. We got to show some mercy. Justice, but mercy. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness from Jesus. Jesus said, if you're persecuted because you believe in me, then again, you're blessed and the kingdom is yours. With all these statements, Jesus is turning an upside-down world right side up again. He knows you're tired. He knows that you're weary. He knows I am, and I think probably you are as well. But remember the words of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 42. He said, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes back and he will separate the weeds from the wheat. We don't have to take on his job. We have to follow him and put our faith and hope and trust in him and know that he one day is going to make this world right again. In the end, we know we win. So imagine if you are the coach or if you're on this team at halftime and you know that we're just continually, game after game, getting our teeth kicked in and we're getting beat by cheaters and bad officiating and you really get disgusted and put down, feel down about the whole thing. Imagine you can look to the end of the season. Somebody gives you a little glimpse of looking into the future and you see that not only do you win locally, but you go on and you win everything. You win the district state championship. You win it all. What does it do to your attitude? Suddenly it makes the game that you're in right now a whole lot more tolerable. Remember, if you get beat down and you get weary, flip over to the last book in this Bible. Read some of Revelation. You don't have to figure out all the symbology and all of the things that are going on in there, but what you will see in there is victory. Victory in Jesus that we sang about. You'll see that in the end, we win. But in all of this, as we see in Romans 8, God is working in all things for those who love him. God is working in all of this for the good. And I think Bob Goff summed it up well. Bob Goff wrote the book Love Does, outstanding book. He said, and I saw it just this week, I think he made it this comment recently, sometimes God will use the chaos around us to give us clarity within us. Sometimes he will use the chaos around us to give us clarity within us about what will absolutely outlast us. God uses the chaos around us not to beat you down and not to make you feel weary, but to show you this world is not our homes. This world is messed up. And get your focus back on things of eternity. Get my focus back on things of eternity. Things that matter to him and things that should matter to me. In the end, we win. You may feel like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. Just take on the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is light. His burden is easy. That's why we come around this table, to remember every week the things of this world may frustrate us, they may get us down, but we know that in the end, we win. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we take comfort in the words of Jesus, and sometimes we are poor in spirit. But Father, if that empties us of ourselves, then we are thankful for that. Father, we get weary from the things of this world, but if that turns us back to you, then we are thankful for that gift. Father, we know you know what injustice and oppression really are like. We know that you stood there in front of the crowd and they asked for a murderer to be spared and for you, the peacemaker, the perfect one, to be killed. It's upside down. And Father, we come and we ask you to give us your yoke. We want to take on your burden to love God and love people and to follow you and obey your commands. As we gather around this table, Father, we thank you for your blessings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good lesson, sir.
Thank you.